Can you hear me? Oh, wow. I can hear me. Well, good afternoon. God bless you all. Well, it's an honor for me to be here talking to you, and it feels weird standing up here because I'm not used to being tall. I'm used to looking up at people, not looking down, so it feels weird. But anyways, thank you all for being here, and I just want to ask you if you could please stand up for a moment and let's bow our heads and invite the Lord to help me out. Father, good afternoon. We're just grateful that you give us life and that you give us an opportunity to come to a place where we can hear your word and where we can praise your name and worship you. And it's just a great privilege to have that opportunity because it's like we know that when we are all together, it is there that you send your blessings there and you have your spirit here, Father, and you allow us to hear your voice. And we're grateful for that. And I want to just ask you right now, Father, that you please use me and please guide my thoughts and my heart and the words that come out of my mouth. Please guide them so that it is you who is speaking through me, Father, and not me through my own flesh. Please help us all to hear and understand your will for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I'm asking you this. Amen. Thank you. Please go ahead and sit down. So I think this was the fastest trip to Visalia that I've ever had. Because every time I come here, it's like a long trip. But that's because I'm driving and I stop a lot. And this time, Betty was driving and she doesn't stop. I had to ask her to stop. And she said, you want to stop? I go like, yeah. Do you really have to stop? Yes. Oh, man. Then she has to like pull over to stop. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And she goes, I just pray through. Then I asked her halfway out, do you like eat? Are you hungry? I'll eat when I get there. I'm like, oh, okay. And then we got here, like, but where was the food? I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm glad. It was good to fast before the Sabbath, I guess, for the Sabbath. So it was good to fast. Actually, it was nice because the trip went by so fast because I was talking the whole way. I felt like I was just sitting down somewhere in the living room chatting with Betty, and next thing you know, the time just went by. That's why I understand Levi. He's with her a lot, and I'm like, don't you get tired of her? He's like, no. He doesn't get tired of her. That's why he decided to marry her instead. So anyways, I'm grateful to be here. And I want to talk about listening to God's voice and actually hearing and listening to God's voice. And in talking about this, I was looking at the story in Samuel. And one of the things that I learned is that reading the Bible is not enough. Because when you read the Bible, it's like when you read a book, it's like you just get the story, and then after you get the story, you're like, okay, so yeah, I got the story. Because when I read chapter 3, I read the story, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a story. I mean, God talks to this guy, you know, doesn't know who's talking to him, and then finally he gets up and says, okay, what? Oh, yeah, okay, I got the story. And then it's over, you know, it's like, so I got the story, big deal. But I realize is that we really, when we look at the Word, we need to meditate on the Word. Because you see, the Bible is not just a book of stories. The Bible is the Word of God. It's God talking to us. It's God trying to tell us something. And so, it's interesting because when God spoke these words back in those days, He wanted His Word to be eternal, to be there all the time. And we have to understand it as such. that when we are reading the Word, when we are looking at the Word, is God's Word talking to us today. And so we have to meditate on the Word and understand, like, what is He saying to us? What is He trying to tell me? Let me get rid of all this other stuff that's in my head right now and focus on what He's saying. And that's what you do through the process of just meditating. So I don't mean like a yoga, I'm talking about like ask questions. Like, for example, as we start reading in chapter 3 and in verse 1, and it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli." And so I asked myself, okay, well, who's this guy Samuel? You know? And so then I realized that when I will go back into the first chapter of 1 Samuel, I realized that there was this lady who was barren. And she was feeling bad because she couldn't have children. And she was feeling really bad because she really wanted a son. And so the one day, she decides, I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to plead with Him. And she went and she pled with God, and God, please, I want a son. And so then, like, to sweeten up the deal, she says, I'll dedicate him to you. If you give me the son, I'll dedicate him to you. And then God says, okay, fine, I'll give you this son. So God gave her a son. And this lady decided to keep her word because she believed in God. See, most people, they'll say to God, God, if you give me this, I will do X. And then God gives them that, and then they forgot that they had told God, I will do X. And they just completely forgot. Or if they don't forget and they remember, they just ignore it. Like they don't care. Like it doesn't matter. You see, it's like we don't understand how it is to have a relationship with God. When we have a relationship with God, it's a two-way street. You know, if we say something and God does something and then we do something and it just goes back and forth and it's a relationship. So this woman said, I'll do this, and God gave her the son, and so she had the son and she dedicated it to Him. So after she weaned him, she brought him to the temple and she gave him to God and said, okay, Eli was the priest here, it's my son. And so in chapter 2, in verses 18 through 21, if you have your Bibles there at 1 Samuel, we see that it says, now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen how do you say to pronounce that word? Is that ephod or ephod? Ephod? See, I don't know, because in English, in Spanish, I just say it. I don't even know how to say it in Spanish. So never mind. Okay? I don't know how to say it in English or in Spanish, so I'll just say that word. But with that word, ephod, what it is, it's a garment. It's the clothing for the priest. Okay? And so his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So like, Samuel's mother, when she gave him up to God, she gave him up to God. And she didn't get to see him but only once a year. And so she would be at home and she would be there kneading his little robe, and she would be making him clothes, and he would bring him and say, here, mijo, I got you a little robe so you could look like a priest because I'm offering you to God. You know, so she did that, and she would take care of him that way. But then he was basically raised by the man of God, Eli. And so she did that, and of course Eli would bless Elkanah, which was the father, and his wife, which was Hannah, and say, may the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord. And then they went to their own house, and the Lord was good, because seeing this relationship is a two-way street. So God gave her the child, she kept her word, she dedicated it to God, and then God comes back and says to her, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. So see, he didn't just say, okay, you got the son, you give it to me, and now you're done. No, he gave her more. Okay, so who's Samuel? Samuel is this guy that was born out of a miracle, born to a woman who was not supposed to have children,
Born to a woman who was asking God, please give me a child. Give me a son. And I'll dedicate him to you. And she did, and she dedicated it to him. So this Samuel is growing in an environment where God is God. And he is the head. He is the top. He is the authority. And that's what he's learning as he's growing up. And so as he's growing up, he's ministering to God, which means that he's serving God. So that's what he's doing. He said that and so the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. So he's serving God in front of and to help Eli, which was supposed to be the servant of God because he was the priest. Okay? So now we understand a little bit of who Samuel is. But then we continue to meditate and we see, well, it says that the word from the Lord was rare in those days and visions were infrequent. And so I asked myself, what do you mean that the word of the Lord was rare in those days and the visions were infrequent? So as I started looking through this and looking at the time frame, the era in which they were living in, I realized that they were living in the era of the judges. And during this era, when you read the book of Judges, you see there are two major themes in the book of Judges that the people of Israel were doing. The two things were, one is that the people of Israel, the people of God, were doing evil and they forgot about the Lord. So the people of God, the children of God, were doing evil and they forgot about the Lord. And then the second theme of the book of Judges was that every man did what was right in his own eyes. So, you know, it's interesting because the Sabbath school we were having today was talking about humanism. And that's exactly what this was. Every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. This is what I think I should do, and so therefore that's what I'm going to do. You know, it makes me think of today's society and today's culture. Excuse me, sorry. Today's culture, men today want to do whatever they want to do. You know, it's like, if it's okay with you, then it's okay. You know, this is the world where you, in this culture that we live in, you're the most important person. You do what you want. It's all up to you. It's whatever you want. Doesn't matter what God says, because in a lot of people's eyes, there is no God. And so that's the way these people were doing. And so what happens is this, as I started meditating on this, I started realizing, well, wait a second. Why was God's word rare? And then it hit me. Well, of course, if God is talking to his people and the people are not listening, what does God do? Okay? You don't want to hear? You don't want to listen? I'm not going to talk to you. And that's why it was rare. And that's why he wasn't giving any visions to anybody, because of the fact that nobody was willing and nobody cared. So when you get into a culture where people are not listening to God, when people don't care about God, when people just forget about God, then God says, okay, then I won't talk to you. But the good thing about God, the great thing about God that makes him so awesome, is that he loves his creation, us, so much that even though he goes through a period of times where he wants us to learn how it is to live without him and to have chaos and crash and have conflicts and all this, and then one day we realize, oh my gosh, we need God. You know, some of you may remember 9/11 and you realize how this culture was like without God, and then all of a sudden we just have an attack on just only a couple of buildings in only one small city of the whole country. But what did it do to the whole country? Everybody all of a sudden wanted to go to church. Everybody wanted to go to church and they wanted to call God because we got attacked. Oh my gosh! God, we need you. So all of a sudden people wake up and realize there must be a God. We need a God. We need a God to help us. Because they didn't know what was going to come next. And so the good thing about God is that God is always ready to help his creation. And so he's always looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody who is willing to listen to him. And in this case, he found somebody. His name was Samuel. Because this woman, the mother, pled to have the son. And the son was given to God. And the son was growing up doing God's will and serving God. And ministering to God. That's what he was doing. And so God said, that this guy, that's what I want. I want somebody who's willing to listen. Someone who's willing to not only hear and listen, but to do. Someone who actually cares and wants to be with me. And somebody who actually wants to have a relationship with me. And this guy, Samuel, fits that bill. So therefore, I'm going to call Samuel. And so that's why the Word of God was rare in those days, because nobody cared. Nobody was listening. And if we continue down the path, I'm talking about us here, if we continue going down the path of not listening to God and not caring about what God has to say, then the Word of God is going to become rare for us as well. Because no one's going to, God's going to say, well, they don't want to listen. And we'll talk about listening more in a minute. So then what happens is that this is the environment. These are the circumstances. So when I'm talking about not just reading, but meditating and listening to God, and you ask the questions, and you see how God just helps you to understand what's going on in this scenario of the story. So now that we see that, we move on to verse 2, and it says, and it happened at that time, as Eli was leaving... I'm sorry, I can't see, but I'll see it in a minute because that doesn't make sense. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So what's happening here? We see that Eli, the priest, was... He couldn't see. Like his life was coming to an end. And one of the things that I forgot to mention earlier is that here there was a priest, Eli. What was his job? His job was to communicate the Word of God. His job was to listen to God, to hear what God wanted for his people, and communicate that to the people. But what we see, if we read the whole story, we come to the realization that Eli was not doing his job. And his sons were not doing their job. So Eli was not communicating the Word of God. See, Eli, evidently when he saw the people not listening, he shut down and he stopped doing his job. And then he didn't even talk to his sons. And so his sons started going downhill because they weren't listening to God. So that's the environment that was happening. And so God is about to bring an end to that era because he found Samuel. Because God allowed Samuel to be born. He was God, the one that brought Samuel to life. And so he says now, and Samuel listened to God and is having this relationship with God. So God said, I'm going to call him. And so he's going to bring an end to Eli. And now Samuel's going to come up. And so then Samuel, we see, he's laying down by the ark because Samuel wants to be close to God. And so that's where he's at. He wants to be as close to God as possible in every aspect. Not that we need to have any idols or any figures or any things to be close to God. You can be close to God wherever you are. It's just that this is where he was, and that's just where Samuel was, because that was his thinking. And he says then, and I mean, I don't know if that's where he slept or whatever, but I'm just saying he wanted to be close to God. And he says, then the Lord called Samuel. And he said, here I am. And then he ran to Eli and said, here I am for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and laid down. So Samuel hears somebody calling him, and he automatically thinks it's his mentor, Eli, the priest. He must be the one calling him. But you see the response of Samuel at this moment. He hears someone call. He's out there laying down sleeping. He hears his master call, his mentor call, his priest call, the authority figure in his life calling him. And what does he do? Here I am. He gets up and goes all the way over there. Here I am. You know, today, when we hear our pastor call, our minister, our spiritual leader call, We're like, yeah, I'll be there. You start without me. And if I don't get there, don't worry, I'll get there sometime. You know? We don't really, like, really pay attention to our leadership of our church. We just kind of like, whatever. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, yeah, go ahead, I get you, but whatever. And that's what it is in a lot of places, in a lot of churches, where people just don't listen to their leadership. And here is Samuel listening. Here I am. What can I do? And of course he tells him, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down again. And so in verse 6, he says, the Lord called again. So Samuel arose and went to Eli again. And he said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lay down. You know, be cool. Just go lay down. I don't understand what's going on here. But then we see this next verse. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So here's this young boy who is serving and ministering to God. Yet he did not understand the voice of God. He had not heard directly from God. But he was following God and serving God because he had this mentor, the priest, Eli. And so that made me think, as I'm thinking about that, how can that be? And how do we see that today? And what I realized is that today, there's a lot of us who have not heard the voice of God. And we can't discern when the voice of God is talking to us. And so I'm like, why is that? And the reason that came to my mind is because of the fact that we have all these voices that are talking to us. We have at school, we have teachers who are telling us things. You know, we have relatives who don't know God who are telling us things. We have friends who don't know God who are telling us things. We have the media, the news, who are telling us things. We have songs and music that have messages that are telling us things. So we have all kinds of voices that are coming at us, telling us things. And then we come to church and we have this guy up here that gets up and tells you more things. And you have your Sabbath school where people tell you more things. Some of you go to camp, right? And you have this little guy that tells you things. And the thing is that you hear all these things, and then you, and in your mind, it's like, there's just so much. Who do I listen to? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's looking after my interest? And so we have so much. And so what we need to do is realize it's like a radio station. See, I always just remember when we were in camp, because these are like the two-way radios. We were in camp, and so we kept on hearing some voices from other places and whatever. And then we realize, oh, wait a second, you know, there's other people that are in our frequency. So we're hearing things that we're not supposed to be hearing. So then I guess Levi and the team, whatever, decided to change the frequency. And now they changed the frequency, and all of a sudden now it's just us. And we can hear us, and we don't have to hear anybody else. You know, it's like the radio. When you're on the radio and you're trying to tune the radio, and you hear all these different things, and you try to get it tuned just right so that you can hear only one voice. Well, here, that's what we need to do with God's voice. See, we need to tune this radio, this frequency, and we need to tune out everything else and then just focus on just hearing only God's voice. So we got to tune it to be able to listen only to God. But to do that, we need to recognize, well, which one is God? What is God's will? And that's why we need to be able to do what Samuel was doing, ministering to God. We need to get into the Word. We need to develop a relationship with God. We need to understand who God is. We need to start seeking God. And if we're seeking God, guess what? We're going to find God. And if we're not seeking God, guess what? You're not going to find God. And you're going to be hearing all these other voices, and you're not going to know which one to listen to. So here's Samuel. He was hearing. He didn't know where it was coming from. He had not yet heard the voice of God. And so then he goes back, and then the Lord Samuel, verse 8, now the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me.
Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli, oh my gosh, I know what's happening. I've been there before, you know, and I know what's going on. So he goes and he tells Eli, he says, and Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he calls you, because now he knows who it is, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Excuse me. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So now his mentor finally got it, and his mentor guided him and say, when he calls, say, speak, Lord. You see, so when I'm looking at this and I'm analyzing this and meditating through this, I'm thinking, you know what? In our lives, we need a mentor. We need someone that can help us to get that tuning just right so that we can hear the Lord. And if we don't have a mentor that can help us to tune things just right, the frequencies just right, so that we can hear the Lord, we may not hear the Lord. But we need a mentor that actually listens to God, or that knows God, so that then they can tell us, here, this is the Word of God. And they can guide us to help us. And usually, you have the, you know, you have your minister, you have some elderly person, you have maybe a young, you don't have to be old to listen to God. You could be young. This guy was young. He was a boy. Okay, he was a young guy. So you can listen to God at any age. You could be 12 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old. You can listen to God. And so you need to find someone that's listening to God to help you, mentor you, and help you to get that lined up, that frequency. And so that's what happened here. Eli helped him to God to get the frequency right and say, this is the voice of the Lord. Listen to him when he says, just say, speak to me. And so then the Lord said to Samuel, excuse me, and Eli, yeah, said to him, go down and do that. Okay, so Samuel went and lay down in his place. That was verse 9. Now verse 10. Then the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. You see that humility in this guy's heart. Speak for your servant. See that? Now, Eli didn't say, tell him your servant is listening. He just said, speak, Lord. But Samuel recognized that he was a servant. He said, your servant is listening. Because that's the kind of relationship we need to have with God. We need to recognize that God is Master, God is Lord, and we are His servants. And if we have that concept in our minds very well cemented, then we are on a good start and on our way to having a good relationship with God, because it'll be based on a proper relationship. So then Samuel says, listen, and your servant is listening. I mean, speak, your servant is listening. And then the Lord said to Samuel in verse 11, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Now, I want you to imagine this for a moment. Here is Samuel, a young guy. He's never heard from God directly. He's only heard from God through Eli. And now he's about to hear from God directly. And then you would think that if you're a young guy and you're about to hear from God directly, you're probably going to hear some great news. You're probably going to hear some direction that he wants you to go in to do something that's great to honor God. And you're going to feel really good about that. So you're expecting something good that you're going to be asked to do. But instead, Eli is about to hear some terrible news. He's about to hear some horrible news, because it affects in a negative way his mentor. The guy that he's been listening to all these years is something negative about him and his family. And imagine a young guy. He's not ready for this. But what he was ready for was that his heart was in the right place. I am your servant. Just go ahead and tell me. I'm listening. So you see, when we come to God and when we listen to God, we can't expect that, oh, God is going to be like this genie that's just going to give you all these good things and give you all this good news.
Because God may have a different plan. He may want to use you differently, which is what He did here. So He gives him this news. What are these news that He gives him? He says, For I have told him, talking about Eli, verse 12. He says, in that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Excuse me. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Wow. Here is this young guy hearing this devastating news about his mentor. That his mentor had done iniquity in the eyes of God, and his children had done terrible things, and that his mentor had not done his job in helping his children to not do those things and to grow. So here is Samuel hearing this, and Samuel, even as a young man, perhaps he was able to perceive the iniquities that were being done, and perhaps that caused him to be confused as he was growing and not understanding how is that possible. But the point is that now God points it out to him and says, this is what I'm going to do. And the saddest part is he says, there is nothing that he can do. There's no atonement and no sacrifice that can help this now. So that's like devastating news that Samuel gets at the first time that he hears God. And he hears this, but he recognizes this from God. And of course that made him very sad. But at the same time, he brought another emotion to him. What was the other emotion that he brought to him? Fear. He brought fear to him because he says, so Samuel lay down until the morning and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because he didn't want to tell the vision to Eli. So he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Because just imagine, how are you as this young guy, just heard from the Lord for the first time, and you heard this bad news about your mentor, your leader, your authority, and now you're going to go and you're going to tell him that? That's like very hard to do. You know, so he was afraid, what am I going to do if I go tell him? He's going to get mad at me. What if I tell him and he gets so mad at me that he kicks me out? I mean, all these thoughts probably went through his head. I don't know what I'm going to do. What is he going to do to me? Or what is he going to do with this information? No, I don't think I want to tell him. And so he's afraid to tell him. But then Eli called Samuel and said in verse 16, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. But don't ask me any questions. No, here I am. And then he said, what is the word that he, God, spoke to you? So now he's asking him, what did God tell you? And you gotta be thinking of Samuel. He's like, I don't think you want to know. I mean, you really don't want to know this. So maybe we can talk another conversation. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about something else, you know, because he was afraid. He didn't want to tell him. But then Samuel made it really hard. I mean, Eli made it really hard for him because he says, please do not hide it from me. May God do to you and even more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. Wow, he just put it to him very, very heavy here. If you don't tell me the truth and tell me everything, then everything that he said is going to go on to you. And he's like, oh, dude. He just cursed you. You're going to be like axed, you know. And so, no, I don't want to be axed and cursed. So, you know, it made it difficult for him to like, what do I do now? Well, I guess I better tell him the whole story, right? And so he did. So Samuel told him everything in verse 18 and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. This is what Eli said. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. This was interesting to me because First, the part that's not as interesting is that Eli knew that that was the Lord. How did Eli know that that was the Lord? That what Samuel was telling him really came from God. Well, the reason he knew is because if we were to read in chapter 2, then in chapter 2, I think it was, I don't know, verses 33 to 36, I think it was, God reveals this to Eli. So what God told Samuel, God had already told Eli. And that's why when God is telling Eli, he said, I already told him this. So Samuel knew that Eli had already been told by God. And so when Samuel says, yep, that was the Lord, because that's exactly what he told me. You know, that's exactly what he told me. So that's interesting, but that's not as important as the other point that I thought here. And that is that he said, okay, let him do what seems good to him. There's something missing here. What's missing here? Contrition. Repentance. You know, humility. I mean, he's like, yeah, I know. I know that that's God. That's definitely God. He told me that too. He's going to destroy me. You know, he's going to destroy my family. I'm done. It's over for me. That's it. I know. Let him do what he's going to do. What can I do? Really? I mean, I would be expecting that it's like, oh my gosh, he told you too? That's what he told me. Oh my gosh, he really is not happy with me. I want to repent. I want to ask God for forgiveness. I want to ask God to please help me. You know, I know that that's what he said, but God, please help me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. You know, he couldn't have a contrite heart and come to God and say that. So this reminded me, I've had several people in life. There's one person in my life who's told me this two, three times. You know, it's like, she says, I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. And I'm like, yeah, you do. And then, a year later, I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. I'm like, yeah, and? And later, I struggle with this. Okay, fine. You see the pattern here? What's the use of you knowing what it is that you're struggling with if you're not doing anything about it? You see? So yeah, that's great. She struggles with that. Okay, great that she confessed it and I know it. But she doesn't do anything about it. She continues being prideful and self-righteous and that, and she doesn't do anything about it. And maybe in her mind she's trying to do something about it, but if you try to do something about it, you become humble, you take steps of humility to do something about it. So it's not just listening to God, but it's listening to God and actually doing something about it. See, there was this pastor that I knew, and he had the same problem. He would always say that he struggled with pride. And then sometimes when I would give him a compliment because he did something really great or whatever, and then I said, wow, brother, that was really great the way you did, you know, that you did that, the way God used you for this, and that was really great. Or your message was great. And he said, oh, don't tell me those things because that doesn't help me with my pride. You know? And so he had this pride. And then, you know, 8 years later, he still has this pride. And so all of a sudden something happened, and that pride did not allow him to be humble and ask for forgiveness. So you know what he did? He just resigned. And he just left the church. And then he decided to leave the whole ministry altogether. And then he just left the church and left the ministry and left God. Because the pride got to him. But he knew that he had that. And yet he did nothing about it. And he was a minister for like 35 years. So, but finally he got caught doing something. And he couldn't bring himself to apologizing. And the people at in charge of the License and Credentials Committee even told him, I said, all you need to do is go to your church and apologize to your church. If you go and apologize to your church, we will not revoke your license. And he said, I'm not doing that. Take my license. I'm never going to go there and apologize to those people. So his pride was his God. And he couldn't bring himself to to be humble enough to just apologize and just do what's right. The things that he's been teaching the church to do, he could not do. And so that's why when I see Eli here, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, he knows. Okay, yeah, I know that. You're right, that was God, I know that. But he didn't do anything about it. He did nothing about it. And so it makes me think about that we need to think about that. What things do we do that we know we're doing that are not right with God, that are offending God, that are keeping us away from God, that are not allowing us to have a true, deep relationship with God? What things are we doing that we know about it because we hear it from one brother, we hear it from one sister, we hear it from another source, and we know it, and now we know it. And we've come to accept it. Yeah, that's me. So it's like this guy that I was talking to. In fact, it was this week. I was talking to this one guy. And I was trying to help him to understand something because he has this really ugly attitude. And I'm trying to help him to deal and work with that, to understand he's got this attitude and try to work on seeking God so God can help him to change that attitude. So I'm telling him, bro, you have a... I said, can I be honest with you? I'm just going to be honest with you. Yeah, I said, you have a horrible attitude. You have this really ugly attitude. You know? And so, you know what he says to me? He says, well, that's just the way I am. And then he says something more. He says, you know what? The reason I have this attitude is because that's the way my parents. Because I saw all these things from my parents. And because I saw all these things from all these people, and so that's just the way I am. And I go, wow, you do see that, you understand that. He goes, yeah, but that's just the way it is, that's the way I am. And I'm like, so you want to change that? He goes, no, I can't change that. That's just who I am. And so I told him, bro, if you say that you can't change that, then you're right. You won't change that. Because to change that, you gotta humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then the Lord will help you to change it. But if you don't humble yourself and seek the Lord, then you're right. That attitude will remain. You know? And at least he went away thinking about it, which was good. You know, but that was his thing. That's the way I am. And that's just the way it is. And so that's kind of what I see Eli doing here in a way. Yep, that's right. That's it. You know? He said that. You're right. He told me to. Yeah, I got it. I know. And that's what, this is what I'm talking about, listening to God and tuning in to God. That when you hear God, when you hear Him, you have to listen and then you have to do. See, because if all you do is hear and it goes in one ear and not the other, then what good is that? You know? So it's not only hearing, but listening where you really understand it and it gets to you. But it's not only that, because you can listen and it gets to you and you get, I got it, I know I'm like this. But then you do nothing about it, then what good is that? You got to make the change. And that's what Eli didn't do. So then Samuel, you know, tells him everything. He says that. And then this is what God does. When a person does listen to God, then God honors those people. When a person listens to God and does what God wants him to do, God honors those people. He lifts them up. This is what he did. Then Samuel, in verse 19, grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Which means that now this relationship that Samuel was able to build with God, he surrendered to God, he listened, he did what God wanted, and then God used him. So not only did God honor him, but now God used him. And God used him to spread his word again. And whatever Samuel said never failed. Because God was with him and guiding him. And so, and Samuel, at least at this stage in his life, it didn't go to his head. You know, you have to see what happens in the rest of the story. That would be for another time. But the point is that God used him. He says in Israel, he said, all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. How did they know that he was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord? Because his words never failed. So now he was used by God, and the people realized that this was an instrument of God. And the people came to accept that this was an instrument of God. This was a servant of God. This was somebody who God could use and was using. And so the question to us today is that, are we listening to God's voice? Are we hearing it? Are we in tune to it? Are we listening to it? Are we processing it? And are we doing something about it? Because if we are, then God can use you. And then people would know that you are being used by God. And then they'll know that it is God speaking through you because your words won't fail, because whatever you say will be truth, because it will be grounded on the Word of God. And your life will show that. So it's not you just speaking, but your actions will show that it is from God because you're trying to live for God. So is that who you are? And he says, because that happened, look what happened to the people in the rest of the city. He says, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So now God was speaking to the people again through Samuel. Because that's how God is. God will, if you listen, God will talk. If you listen, He'll keep telling you more. If you don't, He'll stop. But He'll be looking for somebody who's willing to listen. And then He'll talk to him. And then He'll use him. And so the question is He using you? Are you listening to Him so that He can honor you and use you? Is He using you? When you look at a city like this, and you say, look, all those people out there that are not saved, that don't know the Lord, the Word of God is rare. When you look at the city, I don't know how many people live in this city. It's the same thing in Las Vegas, so don't feel bad. It's everywhere. And when we look at the cities where we all live, and we look at the people of God, and it's just a small group compared to everybody. The Word of God is rare out there. And there are people that are here that God wants to use. How many of us will yield, surrender, listen, process, and be used by God? That's the word that I have from God today. Please bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your word. I'm grateful, Father, that even though your word is rare in many places, it's not rare here amongst us. But I'm asking you, Father, to please let your spirit touch our hearts and our lives. And let your word penetrate our minds and our hearts to a point, Father, where we can yield and surrender to you so that we can be used by you and honored by you, Father. Please, help us in that way. Bless this church. These are your people in this city. Father, there's a lot of need for your word in this city and all the surrounding cities. Use your people here to spread your word, to let your word not be so rare in those places surrounding where they live. Please, Father, I ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay. God bless you.